Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been somewhere unfamiliar without a map? A GPS. Some of you guys don't even know what a map is. They were these big paper things that once you unfolded it, you could never get it folded back the way that it came. GPS or without a signal. Have you ever found yourself in a situation like that? It's frustrating. It's disoriented. And sometimes it could be even dangerous. We know that we're supposed to be going somewhere, but we don't always know where or how to get there. And so we ask, what's the right decision? Where's the right turn? Which direction should I go? Should I go this way? Should I go this way? How do I turn? It happens not just physically, not just in our cars, on our trips and things like that. It happens in our lives emotionally and spiritually and relationally. How do I know what God's will is for my life? And if we're trying to navigate our life without God's word, then we're basically going without any kind of direction at all, and we're just kind of helter-skelter. We live in a world that's full of options. Everywhere you turn, there's options to go here, 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 but it's short on direction. You know, how we should go or why we should go. We have access to endless voices telling you what to do, where to go, where to be, how to do things. But oftentimes there's very little wisdom in all of that. And when we don't know where to go, many of us, we freeze. And we don't know what to do. Or we may end up following the wrong light or the wrong direction. Into all of that confusion, God speaks through His Word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this: "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This morning, we're going to talk about the guiding power of God's word. Father, I pray this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It starts off with saying, "Your word is a lamp to my feet." God's word is a lamp to our feet. Psalm 119, verse 105, the first part says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet." Notice what the verse doesn't say. It doesn't say, "Your word's a spotlight for my whole future. Just lay it out for me and I'm just going to follow the path." It doesn't say, "Your word shows me the whole journey." It says, "A lamp to my feet." And I wanted to show you a lamp when I had the opportunity to go to Israel. It's this little clay lamp, has a little wick on it, and you pour a little bit of oil in there and you light it, and when you carry it, it lights just enough to kind of see a couple steps in front of you. It illuminates the path. It gives just enough light basically for the next step. Just enough light to see a few steps ahead. God doesn't promise headlights. You know, sometimes when we're driving down some of these Georgia roads at night where there's no streetlights or whatever, we hit the bright and you can see all the deer that are getting ready to cross the road. Or we just have the regular lights, or we have the fog lights. We have all of this that illuminates much more than what God is talking about here. He doesn't reveal every detail of our life all at once. We couldn't handle it. That's why sometimes we get frustrated with God. "God, I can't believe you didn't answer the prayer that I wanted this way." We get mad at God. But then later on, several years down the road, we look back and say, "Whew, I'm glad He didn't answer it that way." I think Garth Brooks had a song, "I thank God for unanswered prayer." You know, you pray for one thing, and then down the road, God is already blessing you something else because He sees the whole picture. We couldn't handle the whole picture. Instead, He just gives us enough light for this next faithful step to trust Him. We're not wired for that. We want clarity for the whole journey, but God gives us His word so that we will trust Him one step at a time. Think of Abraham in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says this: "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." In other words, God said, "Go." Moses went. "Where am I going?" "Hey, I'll tell you when you get there. Just go." God didn't give him the full itinerary. He gave him a word, and He gave him a direction, and Abraham followed, and he is called the father of faith. God's word doesn't often give us the answer that we want, but it always gives us enough for obedience, for today. His word is a lamp to our feet. It also says his word is a light to our path. If you look at verse 119 or verse 105 again, it's in part B, it says, and a light to my path. Often, Scripture doesn't illuminate where we're to go. It exposes what's around us. Dangers, maybe, we wouldn't see without the light. Temptations that we might start to rationalize, but there's the light. Deceptions that disguises itself as truth, but it dispels the darkness and gives us some light. It gives us clarity when we're confused. It gives us wisdom where things seem complex and I don't know how to navigate through this. It gives us peace when there's fear. It shows us how to live rightly in a crazy, crooked, mixed up, sin-filled world. And it reminds us that even if the path is narrow and costly, it leads to life. Proverbs says this, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We think we know the way. I think it's a guy thing. You know, we'll be driving, and the wife will say, I think we were supposed to turn there. And I'm like, Margie, I got it, because I'm a guy. We'll end up getting where we're supposed to be, maybe several hours later, because we went my way. Just lately, with all of the storms, we never lose power, and we kind of laugh at Sandra and Steve, because Sandra will go like, we didn't have power for like 4 hours. And we're like, ha-ha, all our wires are underground, and we never lose power. The other night, we lost power for about 4 hours, right? And so, you ever lose power in your house? We all have, right? It's dark. Suppose you lose power in your house and you don't have a flashlight. Or your husband, for some unknown reason, forgot to put fresh batteries in the flashlight. So what happens? You stumble in the darkness. You might feel confident because you know your house, even in the dark. That's why we have shins, because it will detect every piece of furniture that you have in the house. That's life. That's us going through life without the word. We're just stumbling around doing our own thing. And what are we doing? We're bumping into things. We're knocking things over. We are certainly not at peace with what God wants for us. The psalmist writes this in Psalm 19. The commandment of the Lord is pure and enlightening to the eyes. Scripture doesn't just point us in the direction. What it does, it opens our eyes to see what God wants us to see. Proverbs writes again in chapter 6, for this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I could stop right there, but I'm not. Don't worry. I'm going to keep preaching. Because God's word gives us clarity. When we get into God's word and we're confused or we're not sure what to do, we can go to God's word and it may make things more clear. Many of us treat the Bible more as a reference book. And so we only go to it when we think there's a crisis in our life. Oh, you know, I'm experiencing grief. Let's see what the Bible says about grief. Oh, man, I'm experiencing financial hardship. Let's see what the Bible says about God blessing me. Oh, you know, my friends are talking about me at work. Let me see what it says about, you know, what about that. And we only use it as a reference book, but the Bible, I want you to think about this, is more like a compass pointing us in the right direction. It is not a last resort to go to when we finally find ourselves in a mess. God's word answers questions like this. What's right and what's wrong? Psalmist in 119 verse 9 says this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. It will tell you what's right and wrong. So when we get confused with culture and culture says, well, you know what? This is, you know, the Bible was written so long ago. Just do this. It makes you feel good. Blah, 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 blah. What does God's word say? God's word says, no, that's wrong. And if you continue down this path, you're going to find yourself farther and farther, not only away from God, but eventually you're going to get to a point where you don't even know who you are. It tells us how to treat others. Matthew says this, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We called that the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not how they changed it. Do unto others and then split. What do I think about my identity? What do I think about money? What do I think about sex? What do I think about work? What do I think about justice? How do I respond to grief and doubt and fear or injustice? The Bible is full of that and can point us in the right direction and help answer questions that may be going through our minds and we're just confused. The Bible doesn't speak to everything, but it speaks to everything that's essential because there are so many competing lights in our world. There's the light of culture that tells us, hey, do whatever makes you happy. God wants you to be happy. Where in the Bible does it say God wants you to be happy? God wants you to be holy. God wants you filled with joy. But that's different than just being happy because happiness is based on a feeling and it could change just like that. The light of social media, you know, when you first get on there and you're like, wow. And then all of a sudden, man, I got 5 friends. Oh, now I got 10 friends. Now I got 30 friends. Now no one gave me a thumbs up on my last post. They all hate me. And then all of a sudden it's like we're controlled by this social media. And that social media is telling you, follow your own truth. This is a true situation when I only get on social media just enough to post the stuff that we do on Facebook and YouTube and TikTok or whatever we got, I don't know. And most of them, I don't even know how to get on there. And I was going to get off of Facebook completely, and Margie goes, no, you got to keep it because I got to check, you know, pictures of Raya and all this other stuff. I was like, well, why don't you get your Facebook? But no, I've got the Facebook. But I'm not on there searching Facebook to see what everybody says. But several years ago, there was somebody that posted on Facebook. And you know how on Facebook we have these internet personalities where everything is beautiful and all the pictures are happy and smiling and you've got the perfect life. And as you're sitting there scrolling through that, you're thinking like, why is my life so miserable and everybody else is so good? Everybody else's life is just like yours. This is a facade that they're putting out there. But the person posted, I'm thinking of divorcing my husband. What do you think? What, you're going to put that out there for a vote? Who cares what I think about whether you should get a divorce? What you should do is see what God says about a divorce. Or I got a better idea. Why don't you go ask your husband to see if you can maybe work it out? Do you think we should get a divorce? I don't know. Were you thinking about getting a divorce? Well, I just put it out there to see what people would think. What? Social media, it's crazy. There's also the light of self-reliance. Hey, figure it out on your own. I had an uncle who used to tell me all the time, this was when we didn't have YouTube videos to show you how to do. You can find a YouTube video on how to do anything. You can fix your car, you can build a house, you can build a bomb. You know, just go on YouTube, you know. But we didn't always have that. What we had were, and some of you young people, we had libraries. They weren't media centers where you could go and watch videos and just go and hang out and listen to stuff. They were libraries, and they had these things called books. And my uncle would always say, like I would say, like, oh, yeah, my car's not running well. He goes, you need to go to the library and get a book. It'll tell you, you know, the book. And he was one man. He'd look at a book and he could build anything. Look at a book, he could fix anything. He'd look at a book and he could do this. I'm not one that can look at a book and do that unless it has lots of pictures in it. I'm like, okay, I'm reading what it says, but I don't even know what this part is that it's saying, you know? But being self-reliant, just figure it out on your own. Just get a book. I'll tell you what, get a book. Get this book. Because God will tell you. God will give you an answer. All the lights, culture, social media, self-reliance, all of those are temporary. In fact, oftentimes they are flashlights with dying batteries. In the moment, it may seem right, but in the end, it leads to death. Only God's word shines with an eternal light. Psalm 19 says this, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. If we don't let the word guide us, guys, We're going to be walking in shadows, just guessing our way through life and just hoping we land on the truth. Number four, God's word is going to keep us on course. You know, a lot of times when I was growing up, I used to think the Bible was a book of don'ts. Oh, you can't do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. I found out the Bible's a bunch of do's. Hey, go and do this, go and do this, go and do this. What it really is a guideline. It's like when you're traveling up in the mountains and you're going through all the S-curves in the mountains. They have guardrails to keep you from falling off the edge. And the Bible is those guide rails that kind of keep us on the path that we are supposed to be on. Even when we know the way or we think we know the way, sometimes we stray from it. And it's the Bible that calls us back. Scripture is like the GPS that we have now. You get off track, what happens? What does your GPS do? It reroutes, it recalculates. I'm waiting for them to come out. You know, they got them with different voices now. If you go to Waze, you can get them to sound like cartoons or Star Wars. And you know, it's like, oh, you know, Darth Vader, oh, turn right at the light. I am your father. You know, that kind of thing or whatever. So you can get different voices. I'm waiting for them to come up with one that tells it like it really is. Like, you idiot, why didn't you turn where I told you to turn? You know, it would probably sound like Margie's voice, actually. You've taken a wrong turn, but here's the way back, and that's what the Bible calls us to. Okay, so you've messed up. You're still my child. I'm a God of redemption. Let's just get you back on track because that's where I want you. And when you come back, we're going to celebrate. We're going to throw a party, kill the fatted calf. We're going to put a ring on your finger and put a robe on you. Isaiah says this, "In your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, and when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." In other words, I'm going to guide you. Here's my word. Peter, one of the most vocal of all of the disciples, as we see and as we read the Gospels. Here's Peter just going out and just a crusty fisherman. Think about it, man. He's always just bossing around and doing stuff. You know, he sees the transfiguration of Christ where Elijah and Moses are there and they kind of disappear into Christ because Christ outshines them. And he's like, hey, let's build a tent for all three. And, you know, those two disappear and it's Christ. Because that's what you need. He's greater than the law. He's greater than the prophets. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. But here's Peter. You're going to die? I'm not going to let you die. In fact, if you go and die, I'm going to go and die with you until they come and take Jesus away. And then what does Peter do? I don't even know the guy. No, I don't even know him. Denies him three times. But God's word corrects our course, just like he redirected Peter. And when Jesus cooked him breakfast a couple days later, said, you know what? Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Take care of my lambs. Do you love me? He goes, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He goes, then go and feed my sheep. In other words, hey, I'm welcoming you back. You denied me three times. I've restored you three times. Come on, let's move on. Because I'm a God of redemption. We don't get that from the world. What we get from the world is you messed up. I can't trust you ever again. In fact, one of the most famous sayings is like, oh yeah, I forgive, but I'll never forget. God says he cast it as far as the east is from the west, deeper than the deepest ocean. Because he's a God of redemption and restoration. And you can't follow a lamp if you never turn it on. Spend time in Scripture every day. And even just a few verses can bring clarity. We walk in obedience one step at a time. You don't have to wait to understand the whole plan. Act on what you do know because God will reveal more as you go along than he's already shown you. Let the word correct your course because sometimes we drift and we're going to drift because we are still fighting a battle of our flesh and the world and our enemy, the devil. Faith doesn't mean that we see every step. Faith means that we are trusting the Word of God, the light of God that He provides for us. And what is the light? Well, the light is His Word. It says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And I want us to understand that Jesus is the light of the Word. We know He's the light of the world, but He is the light of the Word. It says in Psalm 119, if you go back to the beginning, "Your Word is a lamp." It's not a word. It's not some word. It is God's Word. The psalmist is speaking to God. This is a relational saying here. When we open up Scripture, we don't encounter just ideas and principles only. We encounter a person. You will hear me say over and over and over again, when you open the Bible, God speaks. All Scripture ultimately points to Jesus because He is the living Word. And the Bible says this in John, "In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." He's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus says this about Himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 1 tells us again that the Word became flesh and He made His dwelling among us. Jesus is the light of the world, but He is also the light of the Word. When you go to seek answers, you are going to a person. "Jesus, what are You saying to me? Jesus, how do You want me to respond?" When you follow Christ, you walk in the light, even if the world around you is in darkness. So where do you need the light? As you start to examine your own life, are you stuck in a decision that you've been wrestling with? Have you been drifting in your faith recently? Are you maybe unsure of where God is leading you next? Where are you feeling uncertain today? Is it a decision about your future, or is there a difficult relationship going on in your life? Is this a season of loss or confusion? Well, the good news is you don't have to see the entire path. God's already seen it. God knows. You just need to see the next step. God has already given you a light, His Word, and now it's time for us to walk in it. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the gift of Your Word, living, active, and illuminating. Father, Your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we confess right now, Father, how often we try to navigate life on our own, in our own wisdom and our own strength. And Father, just forgive us when our eyes go to ourselves and we become self-centered and try to be self-sufficient. Father, teach us to trust Your voice. Guide us one step at a time and help us not to only read Your Word, but to be led by it. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our Shepherd, and our Light. Amen.